Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart, an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Church. Our ministry website is www.newvisionforlife.com, where we align our heart with the heart of God. Please join our hosts, Apostle Etta Banks and Minister Tamika Garnes, as we get to the heart of the matter.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Praise the Lord, beloved. This is Apostle Etta Banks, pastor of New Vision for Life Church. Praise God, and your host on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. And I just lost my train of thought. Somebody start praying already. Start praying. Bless the Lord. And, of course, I have with me today my wonderful, positive, beautiful server, blessing. Let's see. I'm trying to think of what else I can tell you about her. An obedient, a committed, a loyal, faithful co-host. Friend, daughter, armor bearer. Okay, that's enough. Y'all know who I'm talking about. None other than the most wonderful minister, Tamika Garnes. Good morning, beloved.
Good morning, beloved. How are you this morning?
I am fine, praise God. I'm doing fantabulous. How about yourself?
I am wonderful, thank you. Looking out the window, it looks like it's really cold outside.
So I heard. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Praise God. And I was told that on yesterday that it's supposed to be very cold today. And I'm like, praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Yes. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Amen. Well, good morning, hallelujah, to Joyce in New York. Good morning, beloved. Good morning to Joyce and Lester Richardson. And, of course, to Tamika, their daughter. Good morning to you, beloved. Good morning to Teresa in Pennsylvania, to Prophetess Kim. Good morning, my dear. Good morning. Good morning to Prophetess Dorn, Prophet Crawford and his wife Songberg. Good morning. Good morning to Isaiah in New York, Isaiah in Pennsylvania. God bless you. God bless you, women of Isaiah. They are not women, women of God. Praise the Lord. Bless you, my brothers. God bless you. I thank the Lord for you. Good morning to Deacon Banks. Praise God. Hallelujah. And Dorn, Prophetess Dorn, good morning to you. And to all of our listeners from New Vision for Life, good morning, good morning, good morning to you. And I know you know that I said good morning to you, Joyce, but you came on after I said it, but I'll say it again. Good morning to you, beloved. God bless you, sweetheart. Amen. Minister Tamika, you got any salutations this morning?
Yes, I just want to say good morning to each and every one of our callers. Again, we appreciate you every week. Thank you so much for your support. Thank you so much for your loyalty. Thank you so much for always taking time out to join us on Saturday mornings. We truly, 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 truly appreciate you, and we don't take this lightly, and we don't take you guys for granted. And we do thank God for choosing us for this platform. And so, like I always say, this is his platform, this is his show, and we move out the way so that he can have his way. So we just really pray that all the information that we share with you all, I pray that it really is blessing you. I know, you know, Apostle says how many people, you know, call and say how much, you know, the sharing is spiritual gifts. has blessed them, has opened their eyes to some things, have allowed them to understand who they are. And so I just pray that even in that, that's some joy that has been deposited in your heart. Joy that has been deposited in your heart. So to God be the glory. To God be the glory. Because the people perish for a lack of knowledge. And so we're just giving you all what, you know, Apostle learned, and then she taught her members of the church, you know. And so I'm just happy to be a part. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. And I want to also give a special salutation to the men that come to the show and to hear about the gifts. You know, so many more women are interested in this. They're interested in it so they can deal with their relationships. They're interested so they can help to deal with their children, their occupations, and so forth. And, you know, men and women, we think differently, and so we approach things in a different manner. But I just want to, again, to, you know, to thank God for the men that come to the show, that listen, that respond to what is being taught. So, again, and I forgot to mention Deacon Thomas Farr, but Deacon Thomas Farr, and even though we didn't mention his name this morning, Mark, Elder Mark, which is Tabika's husband, praise God, you know, 9 out of 10 times on Saturday, he's there listening with her, the same way Lester listens when he's around, you know, when Joyce is on the line. But, you know, but to the men, Lester, to Isaiah, to Rob, to Banks, you know, Deacon Banks, to who else was it, baby, that I forgot? What is it? Prophet.
Isaiah.
Isaiah, the two Isaiahs, yes, and Prophet Crawford, et cetera, et cetera. You know, I honor them. And while I'm speaking of it, y'all, please do not forget to go to Deacon Thomas Farr's show, Issues, Christian Men Talk. Please do not forget to listen to that show. And also, Elder West is another avid listener. I know today that they are doing an ordination today, so he wouldn't be on. But these are men that have been supportive in one way, fashion, or another. And I just give honor unto you in the name of Jesus. I honor you. Beloved, would you like to go ahead and open us up in prayer? Thank you. Sure.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen, amen, amen.
Yes.
Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, I thank you, Father, that you have you woke us up this morning. You woke us up this morning. And if you hear my voice, God allowed you to see another day.
Yes.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God, we thank you, Father. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you, Lord God, for you and you alone, oh, God. You're worthy to be praised, oh, Father God. We rejoice and we thank you for all that you are doing, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord. We thank you for chains and shackles being broken, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, for people that are being delivered and now walking in their freedom that you have for them, in Jesus' name. Oh, God, we just bless you, Lord. We bless you and we know, Lord God, that you are working. We know that you have not forgotten about us, oh, Father God. We know, Lord God, that you are on the throne and you see and you know everything that's going on. And, Father, we just get out of your way, Lord God. Whatever it is that you speak to us, whatever it is that you show to us and you tell us to share or speak, God, we shall do in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We will not allow fear to grip us and to cause us to sit down and go in a corner and just stay there, Father. Yes, there is a lot going on around us. Yes, there is death all around us. Yes, there is violence all around us. However, we have a Father that is greater than all of that. And we can go to him and we can cry and we can tell him how we feel. And yes, he will pick us up. He will wipe out tears and he will hug on us. He will minister to us. example, we do not have to live in fear. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah, oh God. So, Father, I thank you even now, Lord God. I thank you even now that whomever may be going through something that's listening today, Lord God, I thank you for the peace that surpasses all understanding, Father God. I thank you that you are their anchor, Lord God, and they are holding on to you tight, Lord God, so that they will not fall, so that they won't drown in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, I just ask that you just touch their spirits, touch their minds, touch their hearts right now in the mighty name of Jesus, oh God. Whatever is causing torment, Lord God, whatever, Lord God, is causing them to want to give up, Lord, whatever is causing chaos in their lives, oh God, and confusion, God, I just ask that your peace, Lord God, allows them to move through, Lord God, allow them to see your light in those dark places, in those dark situations, Father, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, Lord God, for anybody that is suffering from sickness right now, God, by your stripes, Lord God, they are healed in the mighty name of Jesus,
yes,
by
yes,
your stripes.
Yes.
Lord God, they are healed in the mighty name of Jesus, because it is your will that they be healed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. No matter what comes up against them or their bodies. Hallelujah. By your stripes, they are healed. Hallelujah, oh God. And sometimes it seems like we are praying the impossible. But guess what? We're praying the impossible to a possible God that is able to do exceedingly
yes,
abundantly
yes.
above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us, which is Holy Spirit. So call on Holy Spirit for your help. He will come. He will help. He will show
yes,
you the way.
Jesus.
He will guide you. He will direct you. He will give you peace. He will wrap you in his arms in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Thank you,
oh, God,
Jesus.
I thank
you,
Lord
Jesus.
God. I thank you, Lord God,
thank
for
you.
Everything, for your faithfulness unto us, Lord God, for your unconditional love, Father, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, I thank you that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. I thank you that greater is he that is within us than he that is in this world. Oh, God. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Heavenly Father. We bless you, Lord God, hallelujah, oh, God. Yes, God, we will do your work. Yes, God, we will surrender. Yes, God, we will submit in the mighty name of
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Yes, God, we are tired of doing this without you, Father, thinking that we know it all, thinking that we can handle it. We can't, Father, in the name of Jesus, oh, God. And therefore, we cry out to you, oh, Father, help us. Help us, help
yes,
us, help
Jesus.
Us, Father, in the name of Jesus, oh, God. Lord, we surrender. We wave that white flag, Father God. We surrender in the name of Jesus, oh, God. We allow you to take over. We embrace your will, Father, because you know our ending from our beginning, oh, God. So why can't we trust you? Why can't we just let go of the control that we try to have over everything because we want it to go the way we want it to go, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God. We surrender in the name of Jesus, oh, God. And now, Lord God, that those who have decided to surrender, that opens the door for you to take control and to have your way, God. Oh, Lord, we need you, Father. We need you, we need you, we need you, Father. Hallelujah, oh, God. And so, Father, we just turn the show all over to you right now, Father God. Touch the hearts of your people. Lord God, touch the hearts of your people. God, heal the hearts of your people. In the name of Jesus, God, we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. You know, a lot of shows that you hear on the radio, and when they have prayer for opening, they do an opening prayer, and you know, and we're grateful for the opening prayers. But as you can see, that Minister Tabika especially doesn't just do an opening prayer for the show. She actually intercedes and she goes in, amen, and praying for the needs of the people, because sometimes what you hear on this show as far as prayer is concerned, for some of you, this is the only time you'll hear somebody else praying on your behalf. And so we never try to limit the amount of time that God allows or that he takes, that Holy Spirit takes to pray. You know, we want him to have his way as we go forth and do our show. So I do thank you. I thank you, Minister Tabika. I thank all of you for your patience, and I do touch and agree with every word that came out of her mouth. I decree and declare that it is done, so be it in the name of Jesus. And I thank the Lord for it. Want to also give a quick update. Last week, I had three relatives that were still trying to recovering from COVID, two of my brothers and my sister-in-law. So that was Uncle Buddy, Uncle Michael, and Stephanie, my brother's wife. They were recovering from COVID-19. All three of them have tested a negative now. During this week, they test negative. My brother Michael, COVID, ended up with pneumonia. And then from that, you know, then they said his kidney was failing, and all of this happened this week. And praise God, the troopers got together, our prayer warriors, our family, we got together just the way we did when they came down with COVID, and we prayed, and he went home yesterday from the hospital. And prayer does an awesome, awesome thing. Praying and asking the Father for what it is we desire is so vitally important. And it's important to know the word of God, knowing that he is not a man that he should lie. So I thank him for his healing virtue. I thank him that each one of my family members with this nasty disease, you know, has come through. Remember, you know, a month ago, my daughter and my granddaughter had COVID. And praise be unto God, you know, they survived it. And then we don't take this for granted, folks, because there are born-again Christians that we know that have passed on to glory during this time. So the very fact, you know, that my family members survived it, we give God all the glory and honor. Tabika, you know, she has dealt with it in her family. And we don't take this for granted. So we believe what we pray. We stand on what it is we pray. And we just trust that God will do what he said he would do. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Well, listen,
amen.
Amen, beloved. Last week we were talking about the Exalter, and as you found out last week, that is my number one gift. Praise be unto God. And one of the things that we have not done during this time when we're doing this teaching, we have not gone into the biblical characters that exemplify or display that gift, that whatever gift we're talking about that week. But I do want to, because of one of the calls that I got last week, I just want to say something here. I got a call from one of my listeners, and they said, Etta, yep, they called me Etta. they said, Etta, I think I'm schizophrenic. And I'm like, why? Why do you think that? And they said, so far, because of the gifts that you have mentioned, you know, I am those gifts. Each one of those things, you know, like, that's me. And so I had to explain, you know, that we have a primary gift. We have a second and third gift, you know, that comes close to the primary gifts. First of all, that we all have some of all of the gifts in us. Let's do that first. I want to make that clear. We all have some of all of the gifts in us. Every single one of us have some of each one of these gifts in us. When we do, there are variables that one must take into consideration as they're answering the assessment that would make you know, your scores high in one area, low in the other area, and so forth. And let me give you an example. A man that is an exalter, even though we went over the 20 characters of the exalter, and so all of the exalters should have something very, all of them should have similarity. The thing is, a man exalter because he is a man, will also do things a little differently than what a female exalter will do, because he is a male. The other variable is the fact that a more mature exalter, so this would be an older person, will do things differently than a younger exalter. So you can have your gender, your age, and your religious upbringing. And believe it or not, even though you have your motivational gift, that this is how you would respond naturally, there are things that you are taught spiritually that helps to form how you think about certain things, and you think that that is the natural-born way to do it, but it's a taught behavior. And so when she said that, you know, she was schizo, and I said, no, darling, we all have all of them, and you will have two or three that will be high on your list, you know, and you can flip from one to the other and so forth. Understand the reason why we all have all is because God can use us in any given and use whichever gift he chooses to use at that time. Now, that can go not only from the motivational gift, but really that lingers over into the gift, the manifestation gift. Remember, you have motivational gifts, you have ministry gifts, and then you have manifestation gifts. So you may be a prophet by motivational gift. You may be a prophet, and on the list of the manifestation gifts, you are in a meeting or with somebody or whatever, and the Holy Spirit has you to lay hands on someone and pray for them for healing. And so healing can come forth. That doesn't mean that your primary gift in the manifestation would be the gift of healing, but the Lord used you so that healing could come forth. You could be a giver and standing and talking to someone, and Holy Spirit gives you a word for them. So you begin to prophesy to them. So that prophecy that you gave does not make you a prophet. It makes you one who prophesies. And all of us are able to prophesy. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. And Tabika, while I'm thinking about it, can you tell them very quickly, darling, without telling, because I know what I'm talking about. Sunday, I know. I'm at it again, y'all. This is the Exalter. I'm on it. Sunday, as we were doing our Sunday service, the Lord was moving. Mighty service. We had a mighty service Sunday. And the Lord was moving and so forth and so on. And then I got a text, which I didn't see at first, that said, Logan wants to speak, and I didn't see it. So then my musician, he picks his four-year-old daughter up, picks her up and puts her in front of the camera on Zoom and says, Pastor, Logan has something to say. And so we said, okay, baby, go ahead. And she said, the Lord said, don't give up. Don't give up. And then there was something else that she said after that. Well, then her mother comes on and says that while the mother was singing, because she's one of our praise and worship leaders, while the mother was singing, the child went up to her like, Mommy, Mommy, pulling on her coattail. And she's like, shh, you know, because she's singing for us. And the baby kept pulling, Mommy, Mommy, I got something to say. And her mom hushed her, and she said, Mommy, Mommy, I got something to say. And so finally when her mom got a break, she said to Logan, Logan, what is it? She said, Jesus told me to tell everybody not to give up. Now, she put, you know, they got her right on camera, and we are a ministry that we listen. We listen. So here's this three-year-old child giving out the word of prophecy. Now, also when the woman of God was carrying the child, the Lord prophesied through me over her that her baby that was coming forth would be a prophet, you know, and so forth. She's 3 years old, and she's already hearing from the Lord. It's in her nature. It's natural. So it is her mother and father's responsibility to nurture her God-given gift. So now we know that as a prophet of God, a perceiver, as we've already studied here, that as a perceiver, this baby is going to be a prayer warrior. She's going to love the word of God. She's going to, whatever she hears her parents say, it's going to be black and white for her. You know, they better tell the truth in front of this child. She will hold them accountable, and she will speak truth out, and no matter whether it hurts your feelings or not, and you'll hear this coming from her as a child. So remember, we said to you that you will be able to see the gifts, the motivational gifts, in your children. You don't have to wait till they're teenagers and grown to try to find out what their gifts are. There are assessments where you will answer questions. The child can't answer the questions, but you will answer those questions based on what it is that you see about them, what it is that you see. And so we gave the Lord a praise after that baby said it, that God said, don't give up. I can't tell you how many people called me after service and told me they needed that word because they were going through. So, beloved, I'm telling you, this whole thing about acknowledging God, knowing the gifts, understanding who and what we are, brings about a freedom. It brings about a joy in the Lord, and it helps us truly to love one another, you know, and accept each other as we are, to accept each other. Now, all of that started with me saying, you know, about the person said that they were schizophrenic, and I just wanted to, at the end of the list for Exalter, let me just read this to you. Some of the apostles had more than one strong motivational gift. Paul was one of these. While we think his primary gift was giving, which is making him a mighty missionary, we also see a strong secondary gift of exaltation, as well as perceiving and teaching. We see Paul giving practical advice and encouragement. We see that often in him. There are many references in the list here, but as you read about Paul or read his writings, observe his gifts in action. Observe his gifts in action. And so behind every one of these gifts we speak about, they pull out a biblical character that displays this gift, and they give us scriptures where we can read it and we can see that gift being done. So again, I encourage you, the name of the book that we're using is Discover Your God-Given Gift by Don and Katie Fortune. I encourage you to please get that book and go through it. They have the book Discovering Your God-Given Gift. They have one Discover Your Spouse's Gift, Discover Your Children's Gift. Again, I encourage you to get it and read it and use it to the best of your ability. All righty, beloved, if you would like to go ahead and let's start these characteristics of the giver, you may go ahead, beloved.
Yes, ma'am. All right. Yes, the giver. So out of all the seven motivational gifts, this is the one that's least likely to be identified by the one who has it. And part of the reason why that may be is because the giver's left hand does not know when his right hand gives alms. That's from Matthew 6:3. Another may be the giver's all-around personality. The giver can also share several traits of the server. They can also be a leader or a follower, and like the perceiver and the teacher, has a love for the word of God. However, when it comes to the use of resources, the giver is unique. They also, and that was the introduction to the giver, but the first characteristic is that they give freely of money, possessions, time, energy, and love. So notice that givers give far more than just money. If they have money, they will give generously of it, but they also can give of anything else they possess. They can comprehensively They give comprehensively. They give with abandonment, and in the more mature stages of givers' lives, they give with absolutely no strings attached and no ulterior motives. They simply become channels for the Lord to use for the distribution of his resources, for they are convinced everything belongs to him. And, you know, just when people think of, when people hear the word give, I think the first word that comes to mind is money. And that's not the case, because somebody can be a giver and may not have, and, you know, extra to give. They may not have extra to give, but they're going to find a way to give. So they may give something. They give away something that they've had, something maybe they've had for a long time, never used it, but then God will put someone on their heart that's able to use it, and they will give it away. Their time, they will make time to do whatever they can do for a person, you know, just like a server. Their energy, you know, you might be down, and then, you know, here comes the server all bubbly, and you're trying to get you to smile, and you probably like, I don't feel like it right now, but eventually you probably will smile. And love. So, you know, they don't hold their love back. They don't hold their love back. They will freely give of that, especially, you know, when God highlights somebody. It could be, you know, somebody that they just met, somebody in the store. You know, when God highlights someone, they will give. They will give. They won't question God about, you know, what am I doing? I don't know this person. You know, when God says give, they give. The second characteristic, they love to give without others knowing about it. And Jesus had a lot to say about not broadcasting our good deeds. Matthew 6:1-2-4 says, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen by them. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets. Giving is to be secret. Then your Father, who gives what is done in secret, will reward you. Givers do not want acclaim or credit. They just want to please their Heavenly Father. That's what it's all about for them, is pleasing their Heavenly Father. That joy is reward enough for them. So often they will go to great lengths to assure that others do not find out about their gifts. And transparent moment. I remember one time it was either when my family and I went to feed the homeless, or it was with the church and my family. I can't remember which one it was, but we went to feed the homeless one time. And, you know, we were giving away stuff, and I had my camera out, and I was recording it. And then at one moment, God convicted me, and I felt bad, because it was like, just like this scripture says, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen by them. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets. So if you're recording it just for the purpose of recording it so you can go back and look at it, that's fine. But if you're live recording it for everybody else to see, to me, that is announcing it with trumpets. So when you give, because what are you doing? You're recording your good deeds. Like, and a lot of times the homeless don't want to be on camera. And when you come with camera, they automatically, you know, think that this is a time for the people who are giving to shine, you know, to let me show the world what I'm doing for the homeless people. And it shouldn't be that way. They already may be, feel a certain type of way because they are homeless. And so I'm sure they, number one, some of them are embarrassed and they don't want to be on camera. They just want you to give freely without announcing basically that you're there. So I got convicted by the Lord. And so, you know, I told the Lord the next time that I go out, it won't be a live recording. If I record it, it'll be for me to go back and look. And that's just me. I don't know how other people feel about that, but I got convicted by the Lord. Beloved, before I go on, do you want to share anything?
No, that's it. That's it. No, go ahead. Wonderful.
Okay. All right. Number three, wants to feel a part of the ministries to which he or she contributes. Givers give to ministries that they believe in, the ones that are effectively sharing the gospel. Therefore, they not only give monetarily, they also get involved in other ways. They will pray for the ministry. They will write letters of encouragement. They will send care packages, and sometimes they will show up in person to assist in the work. So their givers are very unselfish. They're unselfish with mm-hmm. their time, their love, their money, their possessions, you know, whatever it is, however they can help, they're going to be right there, just like, you know, how some of the characteristics of a server. And so that is what brings them joy. And especially if they are part of a ministry that they truly believe in, where they can see where the gospel is effectively being shared, they won't think twice about giving to this ministry. If the ministry has like a homeless or outreach ministry, they will go out and get stuff. They will make care packages to go out. I mean, they'll get the stuff, and they'll also participate in giving out the stuff to the homeless. That's just who they are. Number four, intercede for needs and salvation of souls. So givers often keep lists of people who need to receive salvation. They will intercede faithfully until with joy they can check a name off the list. So when you ask a group to pray for their salvation, or your relative or neighbor, the givers will follow through on your request. Others may mean to, but soon forget, but not the giver. The giver remembers because they've written these names down, and specifically they have a book or something that they've written these names down, and they remember to pray until, you know, they follow through with the prayer request. Above all, he wants people to come into the kingdom of God. So that is where the giver's heart is to see people come into the kingdom of God. They are excited about souls being saved, excited about people saying yes to the Lord. That's where their excitement comes from. And number five, feels delighted when his gift is an answer to specific prayer. Since givers mm-hmm. know that the highest and best use of their gift is when they are being led to give by the Holy Spirit, they are especially thrilled when someone says, "How did you know I needed this?" It's an answer to prayer. So, you know, givers may have money. They may have some money that they're just holding for whatever reason, and they're not even sure why they're holding on to this money. And, you know, God will keep them holding on to this money, and they will hold on to it because they believe that the Lord has them holding on to it for a specific reason. And, you know, they may come across somebody where they hear somebody's need for something, and, you know, they'll remember, "Oh, I have this money that I've been holding on to. You know, I wonder if they can use it." And then, you know, God may highlight a person. God may allow that the giver to hear a person's need, and the giver will automatically, you know, try, you know, speak to somebody within the church, or elder or deacon, or maybe even a pastor, you know, asking, you know, "Does this person really need, I have this amount of money. Do you think this person can use that?" You know, and, you know, that the elder, deacon, or pastor might say, "Yeah, you know, such and such, they need it for such and such." And then the giver will jump and run over, you know, to that person, and like, here you go. I just wanted to bless you with this." And the giver may not know it, but that specific amount that they were holding on to was what that person really needed. And you know, it blesses the giver's heart as well as the person receiving. And so sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, when giving is going on, especially from the giver, you can't tell which one is the happiest, the giver or the receiver. Because, you know, the giver is ecstatic. The giver is giving with joy, and you know, they're really excited. Like, they're really excited to give away, you know, this stuff that they're giving away, whatever it is. And so you're like, "Is that the giver or the receiver?" I can't tell because, you know, both of them, mm-hmm. we already know the recipient is happy. But you would think that, you know, when people give away stuff, especially if God is basically telling them to do something, like, I need you to give this to this person, and, you know, sometimes we question God to the end. Why? I mean, why are you telling me to give it to the giver doesn't do that. God, you said give this to such and such. Okay. They just trust. They trust the Lord. You know, they trust the Lord when it comes to giving. They don't say, well, God, you know, this is my, and even for what I said earlier, the giver, even if they don't have a whole lot of money, they may have $20. And the Lord may say, hey, I need you to give that $20 to Linda over there. And, you know, they're like, yeah, okay, the Lord told me to give you that. And they'll joyfully go over there and give it to them because they're trusting God, especially when they hear from the Lord about something. They trusting that God is going to supply all of their needs. So they're giving because God is telling them to give, and they're giving it joyfully because they know that God is going to take care of them. Amen, beloved. Go ahead.
Amen. Praise God. Also, saints, please remember this is Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. You may press 1 on your keypad if there's something that you would like to share and or ask a question. Remember also that any of these characteristics that you miss or any of the other lessons that we have gone over, you can always go back to our archives and you can listen to these over and over again. You can listen to them over again. We're Heart to Heart on Blog Talk Radio, and I encourage you to listen again so that you could get this. All righty. Number 6 is that they want their gifts to be of high quality or craftsmanship. When a giver gives, they give their very best. You don't ever have to worry about that. They are generous, even to a fault. They lavish people in what they do. And they want their gifts to be of the highest quality. A giver is never going to give you something that they themselves would not use or that they wouldn't present to somebody in high authority or something. You know, they're going to give you the very best. They will sacrifice from themselves in order to see to it that you have the best. And if they cannot afford to give or to buy you a gift, they're going to make you one with great thoughtfulness and skill. And so this again, is the, a characteristic of a giver. They believe in high quality in their giving. Number 7, they give only by the leading of the Holy Spirit. You cannot talk a mature giver into giving. They will resist pressure appeals. They give only as the Holy Spirit leads them. And you know how there are times we go to conferences and so forth and so on, and they're asking the congregation to give money, and people give their offering, and then the offering is counted, and they say, you know, we need another $1,000. You know, can we have somebody, you know, 10 people give $100 and so forth. And, you know, they go on, you know, with the pleading and so forth and the different denominations of money and blase, blase. And when a giver gives, they give what the Holy Spirit leads them to give. And there's no amount of pressuring them and to give more or to give less. You know, they hear from the Father, and they go right ahead and they do that. And they don't like pressure sales at all. You know, they will do what the Father tells them to do. Now, they also give to support and to bless others or to advance a ministry. When givers select a ministry to advance with financial support, they check it out thoroughly. They want to be sure that the ministry that they are financing, that is getting the word of God out, and also making sure that all the overhead and the administrative expenses are not taking too much of the chunk of their donations. And I know that that's something that I do when I give. I do not like giving to organizations. And hear me when I say this, beloved. There are organizations that we're giving, worldwide organizations that you will give to. And if you look at their financial support records, it will tell you that 60% of your donation goes towards overhead and administrative expenses, which simply means if you give $100, $60 goes towards paying bills there, supporting the administrative assistants and so forth and so on, all of the overhead, and only $40 is going to the field to do the work of the ministry. And so I am very careful about the giving. I want to know the maximum amount of money that can go into the field for the ministry. That's the organization I want to give to. Of course, I would love it if all of them, you know, 100%. I give $100, $100 goes, you know, to the field. But we know that that can't be done that way. Somebody has to get paid for their time. I mean, it can be done that way in some ministries, but there are other ministries that people's time does have to be paid for them to, you know, do all of the work that has to be done. Somebody's got to do it. And so, you know, if there's money there to pay them, then you pay them. But just be very careful and mindful of that. So you may not be careful, but the giver will. The giver will be very, very careful about where they're placing their money. Also, the giver views hospitality as an opportunity to give. Like the server, and I hope you heard when Minister Tabika was talking, she kept saying, you know, like the server, the giver and the server, their gifts run so close together, but there is a different motivation for why they do what they do. And so like the server, the giver loves to practice hospitality. Outwardly, this characteristic looks the same for both, for the server and the giver. But the inward viewpoint differs. The server sees hospitality as a chance to serve. The giver sees it as an expression of giving. You know, so they do the same thing with different perspectives, different viewpoints on it. But hospitality is an opportunity to give. And so, you know, that's when Minister Tabika mentioned earlier that it is not always in dollars that you'll see the giver giving. Number 10, they handle finances with wisdom and frugality. Givers are good at handling money, and the best, as a matter of fact. They are the best at it. They are careful, cautious, even a little tight with their own spending. Do not squander money. They do not squander money. Quick story here. There was a couple that was in financial difficulty. They were getting deeper in debt as the bills continued to pile up. They went to the church elder for advice, and after listening to them for a while, he told the husband, "It seems to me that your wife has a natural ability with finances. Why don't you turn the responsibility over to her for 6 months and see if she can't solve the problem?" And he said, "I never thought of that. I always assumed it was the husband's responsibility to handle the money, but I'm not good at it, so I'd love to give it to her." So the wife, being a classic giver, immediately established a budget, began making partial payments to the creditors, and cut out all spending except for absolute necessities. No more restaurant lunches, you know, no more the kids eating in the school cafeteria. She made their lunch, you know, during this time. No more clothes, you know, just for the sake of buying clothes. The food budget, she stretched that budget by clipping coupons and so forth. And by the end of the six months, they were in the black, or almost in the black. And her husband was very, very grateful. And so then he delegated the family finances to her permanently. So givers also, they make great treasurers for any type of group that they're a part of. They are excellent to have on your financial committee, and they are great bookkeepers and accountants. You know, so this is something here, like when they went and they got the counseling from the elder, you know, and he said, look, he picked up the fact that the wife had the gift of giving and handling finances. So don't be afraid, men. Don't be afraid that because you're the head of the household that you can't let your wife do the financing. Both of you stay in your lane. That's not your gift. That's not where God has called you, you know, to excel in that area, but has given you a beautiful, wonderful, understanding, mathematically inclined woman that can handle this. Don't be afraid to let go of those reins and let her do that. And she will see to it that your money is well taken care of. You know, so I encourage you to do that. See, again, the beauty in knowing what the gifts are. Number 11, they quickly volunteer to help where a need is seen. This is another characteristic that the giver has in common with the server. The server, however, is apt to jump in first to meet a need while the giver comes along to help someone else has identified the need. If you tell them that there's a cleanup party at the church, you know, the server is, and the givers are going to be the ones that show up with great enthusiasm, willing to help, ready to help. They'll work all day long. They'll come back until the job is finished. That is the server and the giver. And if someone is sick or hospitalized, the server and the giver will be taking in the meals even before someone thinks to organize, you know, a group of people to do these acts of kindness. They'll be the first ones to say, I'll do it. I'll take care of that. Number 12, they seek confirmation on the amount to give. servers, because they are led by the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit will tell them the amount to actually give to someone. And then when you have a couple situation, you know, you both are praying about the amount to give, and you're both praying about the amount to give, and you're praying separately, and both of you get the exact same amount that the Lord said to give. So they do look for confirmation in their giving. They may pray and know that there's a need at the church or in somebody's home, and they pray, and the Lord lays it upon their heart to give a certain amount, and then someone may come to them and ask for that certain amount, and that confirms in their heart that they heard from the Lord and they were giving what it is that he said to give. So, again, they are spiritually led. I'm trying to think which one of the characteristics that we just did. When they handle money with wisdom and frugality, I just want to say there's a giver that I was talking to this week, and it's a male giver. And this person, you know, just has a heart of gold and will give the shirt off their back. By the same token, if you're with them, you'll hear them complaining about the prices on McDonald's food, the prices on this, that, and the other. And because they're frugal, I'm not going to pay all of that money, you know, for this, that, and the other. And if they're with someone, they would think they're a cheapskate. No, they're looking at the fact that why pay $7 for a hamburger when you can get a pound of hamburger for $2 or $3 and you can make 4 hamburgers out of that? You know, so they look at that. You know, they have to reason why they should spend X amount of money. And this is basically in doing stuff for themselves. They do that. They would appear to be cheap to other people. They're just very frugal. But when they buy the best. You know, they buy the best. Okay, beloved, you may go ahead, sweetheart.
All right. You stopped at 12, right?
Yes, dear, I did.
Okay. All right. So number 13, has strong belief in tithing and in giving in addition to tithing. The person with the motivational gift of giving would never think of withholding part of his tithe. To him, that would be robbing God. Excuse me. He believes that everything he has, money, home, car, and all other possessions, belongs to the Lord. He sees himself as a steward of God's resources. The tithe is only the foundational aspect of his giving. Givers give beyond that, often up to 20 or 30% of their income or more. So again, as I said, some characteristics back about how they trust God. They trust that God is going to supply their needs, and so they don't hesitate about giving, you know. And as far as their tithes, they don't believe, you know, they are very adamant about paying their tithes, and they, you know, like it says, to him that would be robbing God if they did not. So they make sure that their tithes are paid. They do offerings in addition to their tithes. And also, like they said, they may even give up to 20 or 30% of their income or more. And, you know, for givers, that's not an issue. And even for some that might not have it like that, you know, I think sometimes when we think about giving, we feel like if we don't have it, then we can't give. And early, you know, earlier we explained that there are other ways to give. But I believe that the giver, even if they really don't have it, they would still give because they trust that God is going to supply their needs. They trust that if they need a bill paid and the money is not there, you know, to cover the bill at that time, they believe that God is going to cover it. That's true. They trust God in their finances. They truly trust God in their finances. They don't question God. You know, even to the point where they believe all of the possessions, everything that they own, everything that they have acquired belongs to the Lord, and the Lord gave them the way to get it. So they trust that the Lord gave them the way to get it, so they trust that the Lord will always supply everything that they need, so they'll just give. Number 14, they focus on sharing the gospel. Givers are naturally evangelistic. We found that even as children, providing they knew the Lord themselves, givers attempted to lead others to Christ, or lead others to Jesus. And so, you know, that's another focus of theirs, wanting people to embrace the Lord, to say yes to the Lord. You know, they want them to come into the kingdom of God, to experience, you know, to experience God's ways, to experience God's will, to experience God's freedom. And so, you know, they will find ways to share the gospel. They will find ways to share the gospel. Number 15, believes God is the source of his supply. Since from the giver's viewpoint, everything belongs to God, the Christian's job is simply to distribute money and resources wherever he directs. Therefore, if the supply runs out, it is God's responsibility to replenish that supply. Meanwhile, the giver is content to get by with whatever he has, or, as the case may be, has not. Like Paul, the giver knows how to be abased or to abound. Givers love the scripture, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. So they have every confidence that if they are being obedient to God's direction in their life, he will indeed take care of their needs. That's what I just said. So as you can see, they don't question the fact or whether their light bill is going to get paid, whether their mortgage or rent is going to get paid, whether they're going to be able to buy food. They just trust in the Lord, and they've seen God work things out on their behalf before. And so with that, you know, they don't hesitate about when God tells them to do something, they jump and do it because they trust the Lord. They trust the Lord. And so that, you know, that's a good thing. And they know that God is not going to let them down. And when I say not going to let them down, not from the standpoint of the human let down, how we want certain things, but it's not God's will. And then when it doesn't happen, we feel like God has let us down. Not, you know, not in that way. They know that what being obedient to the Lord has its reward. Number 16, givers are very industrious with a tendency toward success. So whatever givers touch seems to turn to gold. The endeavors they get involved in habitually succeed. True givers are hardworking, but it's more than that. They believe that God prospers givers so that they can, and they usually do, give even more to the work of the gospel. So, again, you know, there may be a need in the church for some Bibles. They'll go research, see how they can get some Bibles in bulk and just purchase a whole bunch of them and donate them to the church. The church may need money to get something fixed. They may need church tracts or whatever to hand out to people, and the giver will donate some money to see that happen. And so, like I said, a giver is unselfish with all of their things, unselfish, and even to the point where they may have extra room in their house that they can, like, open up a room for somebody to stay for a little bit, you know, and they may not even ask the person for, you know, rent for that room. They may just allow them to stay because they want to help. Number 17, has natural and effective business ability. Givers are good at making money. Even as children, they are drawn into business. They are the ones likely to open up a corner lemonade stand or go door-to-door distributing homemade business cards, often babysitting or lawn mowing or car washes. Givers also learn to save money at an early age. So, as we can see, they already have that natural and effective business ability. So you may see, as a child, you may see them already starting some type of business, something that they're interested in. They already started. I have seen articles of kids who already had their own business at the age of like 5. Mm-hmm. I'm like, wow, you know, how did they do that mm-hmm. already? And I'm like, Lord, they already, and it's mm-hmm. flourishing. It's flourishing. That's because they it's already in them to do. And you'll also mm-hmm. see where I've read another story where this little girl, she gives toys around Christmas time, to less fortunate, those that can't afford, those that are homeless. She purchases toys and gives away toys for them. So, like, it's natural to them. They don't give a second thought about it. They just do it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Beloved, I'm turning it back over to you. I looked at the time, like, good grief, where did the time go?
you're at 18 now, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, go ahead and do through 20, and then I'll cover the challenges real quick.
Okay. All right. Everyone, you're listening to Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. Today we're talking about the gift of the giver. And if you have any questions, comments, you know, you can press 1 on your keypad. We will unmute your phone so that you can speak. All right, so number 18, likes to get the best value for the money spent. Givers don't like to waste money, so when they give the best. But when it comes to spending money on themselves, they're frugal. That's what Apostle said a little while ago. They mm-hmm. shop for bargains and sales. One giver said, I never buy a garment for myself at full retail price. I check the sale racks or wait for postseason markdowns. Wow. That speaks volumes to me. Like, they'll go mm-hmm. above and beyond for someone else, but for themselves, yep. they'll wait for a sale. They won't buy it. You know, they'll buy, like, I'll just say for they'll buy, instead of they may buy somebody a name brand something, but buy themselves an off brand something. And so, and listen, they don't complain about it
or murmur about it or feel like they're being cheated because they're giving somebody their best, but, you know, they're frugal when it comes to themselves. And that's, again, that's the unselfishness of a giver. Number 19, they are definitely not gullible. So we think God has supplied givers with this characteristic to protect them from those who would wrongly dissociate them from their money. They are not easily fooled. You can't pull the wool over their eyes. This clear-eyed quality shows up in other areas besides financial ones. So this in this story, this person's name is Lucy, a mature giver who owned a nursing home, demonstrated it in every day in her relationship to the elderly people in her care. So I'm gonna read this really quick. A white-haired man wheeled up to her in his chair while I was there. "Please tell the nurse at the desk that it's okay for me to go to my daughter's this weekend." Now, this is a patient talking to somebody at the desk. "Now, Mr. Jones, Lucy," and this is Lucy he's talking to, Lucy would say, "You know your daughter only has you one weekend a month. You went last weekend." Next, a lady hobbled up complaining that her roommate was stealing her clothes. "No, Mrs. Smith," Lucy assured her, "she couldn't possibly do that. She can't even get out of her bed. You look again. Your clothes are all there, dear." So what these stories are showing is that you can't easily get over on a giver. You can't easily fool them. You can't easily try to swindle money out of them. They're paying attention. And so it's like the discernment. They have discernment when it comes to certain things or people who try to cause division and confusion. You know, they can easily point that out. And number 20, possesses both natural and God-given wisdom. Givers are fair and objective. They are often wise beyond their years. We cannot help but think of King Solomon, who was a biblical giver who prayed for wisdom and received much. So in 1 Kings 3:16 through 28, we read that two women both claimed to be mother of a surviving baby. After hearing their claim, Solomon asked for a sword and gave the order to cut the living child in two and give half to one and half to the other. And this, you know, this may sound awful. This may sound like a very awful command, but it was wisdom indeed, because for the true mother cried out to spare the child, while the mother of the dead child agreed to cutting that child in half. "Neither I nor you shall have him. Cut him in two." That's what the mother that was not that was the mother of the dead child said about the one that was living. So Solomon's command had elicited from the women the responses that enabled him to determine the facts. So note the concluding verse. "When all Israel heard the verdict the king had given, they held the king in awe because they saw that he had wisdom from God." And so this is where the wisdom, they use wisdom in giving. And, you know, that's why they listen for Holy Spirit when it comes to giving. They listen for him. They don't just jump out there and just start giving money to any and everybody. They wait for the direction of Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so very much. So there you have, beloved, the 20 characteristics of the gift of the giver, and I want to read to you and share with you five challenges that the giver has. The first one is they may try to control how contributions are spent. Now, I want you to hear that clearly. Before, in our characteristics of the giver, givers give, they give without attachment, the strings attached to their giving. Flip that coin over, they want to control how contributions are used. So an example here, if they were if they gave money for the church to buy new carpeting, they may want to personally pick out the color of the carpeting, you know, so they're controlling how the money is spent on that carpeting. Or if they, they needed an instrument in church, and there had to be research done. they may want to be the head of the committee that's doing the research for the instrument that's being bought. So they have the tendency to want to control how the money is spent, so they're very mindful of that. They also tend to pressure others to give. Now, here, the giver, just like every other gift, thinks their gift is the most important, and they see everything through the eyes of their gift. So then the giver believes that we all should give, and we all should be cheerful givers. And so then when other people don't give as much as the giver is giving, the giver tries to pressure them into giving. And that could cause disturbance, you know, in the group, in the ministry, and whatever the case may be. Some people get very offended behind that. And they must understand that they cannot be pushy in that area. What God does through them and to them is what he's doing to them. Don't push that off on somebody else, thinking they've got to live up to your expectation when it comes to this. Then number three, they may upset the family and friends with unpredictable giving. Now, again, you know, they give and they give freely. And there are times, especially, you know, you're looking at family here where, you know, you got a husband and a wife team, you got children and so forth. And the giver of that couple, you know, sees a need and they readily jump up and give money or pledge money and so forth and so on, and have not consulted the other people that would be involved in the budget that the money is taken from. And so they could upset the family. You know, can you imagine, you know, the church having a need and there's a $5,000 need, and the wife, I'll go to the wife being the one that is the giver, and she goes ahead and pledges $3,000. And mind you, the husband is the one that's working and the breadwinner and so forth and so on. And so $3,000 to him, and if he's handling the finances, that would be a major hit for him without there being consultation, them consulting one another. Even if she's the one that's managing the money and knows that she can pull the money out, that still should be something that they have consulted about. So you can upset family, you know, with your giving, and that's another challenge that they have. Excuse me. They tend to spoil their own children or other relatives. Lovers, lovers love to give. Givers love to give. Givers love to give so much that they can spoil their children, their nieces, nephews, or grandchildren. And I see that quite a bit, you know, that giving to them, remember, every gift, their joy is doing what their gift, what their motivational gift has them doing. So, yes, they love the little squills and the thank you, the gratitude, the attitude, you know, of the children that they give, the other relatives that they're giving to, and so they have the tendency to spoil them. And, look, I know being the recipient of that is a wonderful thing, but then there are times then when, as the recipient, when you're wanting something and the giver doesn't have it to give, and you can end up getting angry and upset with them. Mind yourself, be careful in that. Be very, very careful. But they love to spoil people, and I like being spoiled. Praise be unto God. So, and then the fifth one is they may use financial giving to get out of other responsibilities. Oh, my God. Sometimes givers figure that if they provide money, they've done their part. Saints of God, let me tell you, yours truly, Apostle Etta Banks, did that for so many years in the church that I came out of. I was doing well financially, and every time there was a need there, you know, I was one of the people that, you know, financially I wanted to take care of it. And when they had laborious labor that had to be done when they wanted to get together to do this, that, and the other. Look, how much does it cost? Let me pay for it. Because I didn't want to do the labor. I did not want to do the labor, but I will pay for whatever needs to be paid for. And that is one of the challenges of the giver, okay, is that they take the money and get out of other responsibilities by paying the way, by paying the way. So, and this was something that has to be balanced out by the Lord. You know, we have to get balanced in every area of our lives. We must get balanced. And so those, again, like I said, are the five challenges that they have and that must be prayed for so that they can come to a place where they're working profitably in their gift. Let me just read this to you. God could trust Abraham with great riches because Abraham was generous and never let possession become idolatrous. Here we see Abraham giving the choice of land to his nephew. Then he gives his time and energy and personal resources to rescue Lot. After the battle was won, he gave a tithe for all of the spoils to Melchizedek, thus becoming the first recorded tither. But the greatest giving of all is recorded in Genesis 22, in the story of how Abraham unquestioningly obeyed God when he asked him to give his only son Isaac, the son through whom all of the promises were to be fulfilled, as a burnt offering. God restrained Abraham from killing Isaac at the very last moment, saying, "Now I know that you fear and reverence God, since you have not held back from me or begrudged giving me your son, your only son." And that is in Genesis 22:12. So here Abraham is the giver that they used. And there were other biblical characters, Dorcas, Cornelius, Paul, Lydia, Zacchaeus, and Solomon. All of these operated from the gift of giving. Praise be unto God. Wow. Well, beloved, we did it. We did it. We did it. We've covered the giver. Next week, we will be doing the characteristics of the administrator. I hope those of you that saw yourselves, you were saying, yes, 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 that's me. Those that said when I did the challenges, you said, yes, that's me. I need to get that straight. To God be the glory. I pray that you will take the information that you've learned today and please walk in your freedom. Do as I play that song, and y'all don't hear it, but every Saturday morning, every Sunday morning, you know, I play the song Call to Be by Jonathan Nelson. Yes, Lord, I agree. That I will be what you called me to be. So walk in your freedom, beloved. Be free. Be free, because he who the Son has set free is free indeed. It's free indeed. So giver, give, and give accordingly, or give according to how the Holy Spirit leads you and guides you. I love you, beloved. I love you with the love of the Lord, and there ain't nothing you can do about it. Not a thing. All right, my love. Minister Tabika, is there anything you'd like to share before we sign off, sweetheart?
No, ma'am. Everybody have a good weekend.
Amen. God bless you all. See you here next Saturday morning at 9 a.m. And don't forget, tell a friend. Tell a friend. Take care and be blessed.
God bless.
Thank you for listening to Heart with Bishop Etta Banks. Heart to Heart is an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life, Kingdom Builders. Please visit our ministry website at www.newvisionforlife.com. As always, beloved, I pray that God will bless you and bless you mightily. And as he does, you will turn around and bless someone else. And then that person will turn around and bless someone. Then that person will turn around and bless God Almighty for the blessings that he bestowed upon them. And then God, in his awesome and infinite wisdom, will turn around and bless you one more time because you knew what to do with the blessings he bestowed upon you. I thank God for the completion of the circle of blessings. I beseech you, therefore, in the name of Jesus, that you go forth today and be a blessing to someone. And when you do, do so on purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.